I invite you to take your Bibles tonight and let's turn to 2 Kings chapter number 11. 2 Kings chapter number 11. I realize that I'm doing these Bible studies as we go along. I thought when I first looked at this chapter, I thought, boy, we can finish this chapter up in just one night. Well, it's not going to happen. In fact, we're only going to be four verses in tonight, way things work out. We don't know how that's going to work until I actually get into the Scripture. And tonight, we're going to be seeing both the sovereignty and the providence of God in action and the saving of King Ahaziah's toddler. I guess you'd call him a toddler, but not quite 1 year old. His name was Joash. Saved him from destruction and eventually bringing him to the throne of Judah. Now, we're not going to actually see him get to the throne tonight. We're not going to get that far. But nevertheless, we know that he does eventually come to the throne. Now, I talk about the sovereignty of God here, and we know that God alone reigns over His creation and over history, and the Lord acts according to His own will and pleasure. But when we talk about the providence of God, we're talking about His sovereignty in that area. God's divine guidance and care. He supplies and provides, and again, it goes to His control over all His creation. And that word providence is only really found once in Scripture, but we sure see it throughout the Bible. I'm just going to give you two quick examples, okay, and then we'll move ahead. But we see God's providence in the book of Exodus and the story of Moses. God's providence is seen in the Hebrew midwives, you know, saving the children's lives when the Pharaoh wanted them dead. You know, that was just God working out in those women's lives. We see also God's providence and his mom hiding him for 3 months and then putting him in an ark made of bulrushes, slime and pitch, and setting him in an ark in the river where Pharaoh's daughter would be. And Pharaoh's daughter came upon him and pulled him out and basically saved his life. You know, she was enamored with the little one and had him raised like her own. And even hired his own mom to nurse him. So, now, I guess God's providence again, as seen in Moses being found by Pharaoh's daughter, such as he was saved from death, raised in Pharaoh's house by his own mother, and who was paid to nurse him. Isn't that amazing? Now, we also see God's providence in the book of Esther. Though the Lord's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther at all, God's providential hand is shown throughout the whole book. If you don't believe that, just read through the book of Esther and you see God's hand just kind of hovering all throughout everything that's accomplished, everything that happens there. Many other examples could be given throughout Scripture. God's providence is a great thing to look at as you read and study Scripture. I love looking for those things. Now, tonight, we continue in our story. We've seen the past couple of studies how that the Lord used Jehu to take out Ahab's house, both in Jezreel and in Samaria. And the only remaining influence of Ahab at this point was in Judah. Athaliah, or Athaliah, however you want to call her, which is Ahab and Jezebel's wicked daughter. She had lived much of her parents' ungodly characteristics out in her own life, and had she been a male, she would have been on Jehu's hit list. But she was a female, and the bloodline was not the problem here. The influence was, but of course she's going to be taken care of, not this week, but we're going to see that she will be taken out. But we know that she had married into the royal family of Judah. Her husband, King Jehoram, or King Joram, only reigned for 8 years before he died. And then her son, King Ahaziah, was killed by Jehu in Jezreel after only 1 year reign. So we begin tonight in 2 Kings chapter 11, verse number 1. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for the ability to study your word, Lord, and come to an understanding of your guiding hand throughout all history. And Lord, when we see your hand doing the things that it has done over history. Our hearts can be cheerful, even in such a day as today, when, Lord, we wonder what in the world is going to happen with our country, as with the leadership that we have now. And Lord, we as Christians, we need to pray about those things, but we don't need to worry. We know that you're able to take care of us, and Lord, we know that anything that comes our way comes filtered through you. And worrying don't do anything, and Lord, help us to realize that. God, help us to be concerned enough for our country to pray for it, and Lord, to trust you and to know that these things really have to take place. There's some things that have to take place in our own nation in order for the end time scenario to come about. We know that we're headed fast toward a one world government and a one world religion. In order, we know and expect to be raptured out of here before that takes place, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to see a little bit of hardship. Lord, help us to realize that your hand is still right there guiding everything. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Just bless us now as we get into the scripture tonight. Lord, as we see your hand protecting Joash from a very wicked woman. And bless us in our study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to see is notice the plan to destroy the royal seed. There in verse number 1, and when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal, but, okay, we'll stop right there for just a minute, okay? But we see here, after learning of the death of her son, King Ahaziah, who, by the way, we said he only reigned 1 year, short reign, She concocted this evil plan to destroy all the royal seed and to make herself queen. And I understand that if she had been able to carry out her evil plan in its entirety, what would have happened is that the seed of David would have been destroyed. Yeah. And that we know that's not going to happen, right? I mean, we can read the Bible and we can tell some things that's going to happen, some things that's not going to happen. Well, that wasn't going to happen. God was going to see to it that David's seed remained. But for the providence and sovereignty of God, she would have been successful. And we see her selfishness. I mean, before any of the king's seed could be crowned king, she devised and attempted to carry out her evil plan. And the plan was to kill all the heirs to the throne, including her own grandchildren. Think about that. You know, we just had our grandchildren in the town. They're a blessing. Hey. I can't imagine somebody being so evil to kill their own grandchildren. But she was that way. And just so she could reign. Her plan was one of the most selfish plans you'll find in Scripture. And that was, you know, it was all about Athaliah. And we see the scene here. How exactly she carried out her plan is not revealed in Scripture. We don't know if she carried it out alone or if she had help. But she was largely successful, or so it seemed. It had this a kind of a tragic scene here. I mean, just a lot of blood, a lot of killing. These young men of royalty with so much promise and potential were all murdered by Athaliah, except for one who escaped her hand. And the one that escaped her hand was one that couldn't escape by himself. I mean, he was 1 year old or less. 1 year old. So think about it. The most helpless of them all was saved from destruction. He was unable to help himself. He was unable to walk or run away because he wasn't even 2 yet. His name was Joash, the youngest son of her late son, Ahaziah. Here we see how the providence of God protected David's seed. Now, we're not told, but he could have been overlooked or saved for last because he posed no problem for her initially. I mean, what's a 1-year-old going to do? You know, he's not going to come against you, right? And she probably thought, you know, let me take care of all these, the ones that can give me trouble now, and I'll take care of that one later. We're not told. What's a one-year-old going to do, run or mount a resistance? He's not going to do that, is he? Now, I have no doubt that he was indeed on her kill list, but he was the last one. And most certainly she would see to it that he would die without intervention. But the Lord intervened. He was the last of the royal sons, and so he was a potential threat to her in the future. And in her mind, he had to go. And even though he was her grandson. Then we see verse number 2. I want you to notice the one that was saved, Joash. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. I want to pause there for just a minute. There's some folks that read this, and I don't know if the meaning of this is that there were a pile of bodies there, and the baby got lost in the pile of bodies, and she took him from the pile of bodies. And I don't read that there, but some think that that's what is going on here. I'm not going to say that it is, because I can't say definitively that way. But nevertheless, she stole him from among the king's sons which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And so there was some hiding going on within the house, and then as soon as everything kind of calmed down and she was able to get Joash out of there. We're going to see Joash, and in just a little bit, he's going to wind up at the temple, the house of God. Now, so this last remaining child of the king would have been destroyed had it not been for the providence of God. He would never have reached his potential and his position. He would never have received the promise that had it not been for someone who was willing to save him. And her name was Jehosheba. Jehosheba was the sister of King Ahaziah. She was his aunt. and so she was either the daughter or stepdaughter of Athaliah. And this very woman was who had sought to destroy the royal seed. So Jehosheba was also the wife of the priest Jehoiada. We're going to see his name pop up here in just a little bit. Jehoiada. So priest Jehoiada is married to Jehosheba, who saves Joash. And so she carries him to the temple where the priest, she lives there with her husband there in the temple all the time. And so there for 6 years, we're going to see Joash in that area. Now, Jehosheba was a woman of courage. I mean, think about it. She put herself at risk here to do this great deed. Athaliah, as evil as she was, would not have hesitated to kill Jehosheba had she caught her doing what she did. And so she was a woman of courage. She was a woman of compassion. I think that she couldn't bear the thought of seeing this baby destroyed. I mean, it's bad enough to see all of the other ones that could have ascended to the throne having been killed. But what she did out of a heart, I think, full of compassion. And then Jehosheba was a woman of conviction. It did not matter to her who was committing this atrocity or why it was being done. It was wrong and something had to be done, so she did it. And we're not told that she asked for God's help in this, but God certainly helped her. And I wouldn't have any doubt saying that she probably did ask for the Lord's help in saving this young child. Jehosheba was a woman of commitment. She had to be willing to pay the price to get involved here, because there would be a cost involved in rescuing Joash. Think about it. You're going to take the baby. What you going to do with the baby now? That baby's got to be raised, right? That baby's got to be raised. She would not only have to rescue him, but she would have to hide him and help raise him. And there usually is a cost to getting involved in the work of the Lord, but the rewards are eternal. And I believe that she got some eternal rewards for what she did. Now, in reality, we know the Lord is the one who saved Joash. Jehoshaphat was just the Lord's instrument that he used to save Joash. And this was the providential hand of God. And we need to realize God uses us in the same way sometimes. God does things, and he uses us as his instruments. And he wants to use us as his instruments to accomplish his work. But he's the one that is moving. Now, understand that had Jehoshaphat not been willing to be used by the Lord would have found another way. Oh yeah, that would have been somebody else. The Lord would have used someone else, and she would have missed out on the blessing. But she was willing to be used of the Lord, and the Lord did use her. So we see the plan to destroy the royal seed. We see that this one, Joash, was saved. And then I want you to notice there was a place to shelter him there in verse number 3. Verse 3, and he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. Now, 6 years is a pretty long time, right? And Athaliah did reign over the land. So for 6 years, Athaliah is reigning, and Jehoshaphat is hiding with the nurse and with Joash there in the temple. The priest Jehoiada, who just so happened to be Jehoshaphat's husband, provided lodging here at the house of God. So having saved Joash from destruction, she took him to the house of God, and there she sheltered Joash for 6 years as Athaliah assumed the position of queen and reigned over Judah as the only female ruler over Judah's history. The only one that you'll find there. What better place than the house of God to be hid, amen? I want you to think about this. Apparently they didn't have much worry that Athaliah was going to come to the temple. She's a Baal worshiper. I mean, she is. So I thought we did away with Baal worship. Oh, that was in the upper 10 kingdoms. Jehu wiped out Baal worship up there, but because of Athaliah's influence, Baal worship had been instituted in Judah also. And so it's going to have to be wiped out here as well. Joash is going to do that, by the way. But they apparently didn't worry much about her coming to the temple, her being a Baal worshiper like her mom and dad had been. And we know that Baal worship was an evil thing. I'm going to have you turn there, but if you want to write it down and check it out later, 2 Chronicles 24:7, it says that Athaliah had a portion of the house of God broken up, and she took all the dedicated things out of the house of the Lord to use for her Baal worship. I mean, this is how wicked this woman was. Take the things of the Lord to help her idol. So what better place or safer place could there be than the house of God to protect Joash from Athaliah? Fourth thing we see here in verses 3 and 4, and I want you to notice there was a priest and his wife and a nurse to help guard him, sustain him, and train him. When you think about it, he's going to assume the throne at age 7. Remember age 7? Were you ready to assume a throne and rule? How was he able to do that? Well, you think about, he's got the priest there. I'm sure the priest was, he probably was a genius. Had to be. And the priest took this young child, and taught him, and no doubt Jehoiada, Jehoshaphat's husband, who was a godly man and a faithful priest, he and He and his wife, along with Joash's nurse, had a tremendous impact and great influence upon the young Joash. Joash was blessed indeed to have such great role models to take him in and to care for him and see that he was raised in the ways of the Lord. It's amazing what the wisdom of the Lord will do for a person, especially a young child. And that's exactly what he was. When Joash took the throne 6 years later, he was only 7 years old, but we can see the godly character instilled in him. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 2 says, "And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." Now, I'm sure he probably leaned heavily on Jehoiada in those early days of it, as he was assuming the king. I mean, he had to, no doubt the Lord gave him wisdom enough to see that he couldn't do it all his own. He needed help from the older Jehoiada, and probably leaned on him quite heavily. Jehoiada was a man of service, sacrifice, and steadfastness to the Lord. In fact, 2 Chronicles 24:14 says, "They offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada." In fact, he remained faithful to carry out his calling as the priest of the temple before the Lord, and he was honored because of that. He was one of the few priests, I think he's the only one, that was actually buried in the city of David among the kings. It says in 2 Chronicles 24:15, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house." So, great priest, raising a great little king. And we're going to see, when Joash takes the throne, he rules. And he has a good rule for 40 years. That's a good long time, isn't it? 40 years. So did you know that just like Jehoiada and Jehoshaphat and the nurse had an impact upon Joash, we too can have impact upon people's lives? The Lord wants us to impact people for His cause, doesn't He? After all, we're priests before the Lord too. You know that? We that are saved, the Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle to believers in 1 Peter 2:9, he said, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Wait, if we're a royal priesthood, what does that even mean? Well, let me give you three quick things that I know it means, all right? You ought to study it out, what being part of a royal priesthood is all about. But I can tell you at least three things. First, number one, we can intercede to God on behalf of others. That's what a priest did. He interceded to God on the behalf of the people. And we can do that, and we do that. That's why we come together on Wednesday night. Our main thing we do here is pray on Wednesday night. We have the Bible study. It's a short Bible study, I know. But the main thing that we do is come together, take prayer requests, see the needs of our missionaries, and we pray for those needs, and we intercede to God on behalf of others. That's part of being a priest. Number two, we can offer sacrifices of praise for the Lord before others. A priest offered sacrifices. Well, what are our sacrifices? Praise. Yeah. Praise with our lips, and praise with our life. And so we can offer the sacrifices of praise for the Lord before other people. And then number three, we can train others for a life of service for the Lord. Well, that's what Jehoiada did. We have the opportunity to influence others' lives, whether it be family, whether it be others in the church, or whether it be even neighbors. You have an opportunity to have some influence, some impact on people's lives. Pay attention to the kind of impact, the kind of influence that you're being in the lives of other folks. Last of all, I want you to see there in verse number 4. Notice there was a promise that secured Joash. Verse number 4, "And the seventh year Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds, with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. Understand, nobody had an idea that this son was still alive. They were keeping him hidden. And these soldiers had no idea. They didn't know what happened to him. And so this whole story here is evidence of the faithfulness of God, both to his people and to his word. I mean, think about it. God had promised to David that his house would reign forever. You wipe out the line, that can't happen. Satan tried to hinder the promises of God. You realize Satan was behind all of this, right? Everything Athaliah was doing, you know, Satan was prodding it on from behind. But God was faithful to bring to pass that which he had promised. And because of that, Joash received protection. And Joash was sheltered safely in the house of God by Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada for 6 years. And then we're going to see Joash receive promotion. We're not told how the priest knew when the time was right, but as Athaliah ended her 6th year of reigning, and as Joash was only 7 years old, Jehoiada made a tremendous step of faith and called for these leaders and the soldiers to come to the temple. It was time for the unveiling. We've got a king here. And we're going to see next week, we're going to see his anointing and how he was actually brought to power. He revealed to them how the one of the king's sons had indeed survived. Lost my train of thought there. Jehoiada revealed to them that one of the king's sons had indeed survived, and that then the priest then aligned the soldiers so to provide security for the king. And we're going to see that next week. We're going to see how this security was arranged, how it was lined up, and we're going to see how it all comes about. And Joash comes to power, and Athaliah is going to be done for. She's going to be taken out. Not only that, I mean, she was the last influence of Ahab. They're going to take her out, and they're going to remove the Baal worship from Judah. Amen. And it's all because of God's hand moving there in his people's lives. All right, that's our Bible study for this evening. Let's go ahead and pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.